Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
Jones up, hit by Granderson, intercepted on the ricochet. That's Matthew for six. It's a pick six.
That is the sound of the New Orleans Saints, and I'm going to say that again. The New Orleans Saints returning an interception by Patriots quarterback Mac Jones for a touchdown during New England's blowout loss on Sunday. All right, so stay with me, folks. Here's what I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine beloved late Boston Mayor Tom Menino just kind of losing it at the end of his tenure and performing so poorly as mayor that he actually begins to potentially face a recall election. I know that's hard to imagine, but think back. That is kind of where we are with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick right now. Two decades of Super Bowl wins, success, finds Tom Brady, brings him forward. But after some rough seasons and an ugly start to the 2023 season, there are people asking if Belichick should be fired. Is this the end of the line for him? That's the question. So, to talk about that, we have Yahoo Sports columnist and former Patriots beat reporter Shalice Manza-Young here in Studio 2, and on the line, Boston Globe senior NFL reporter Ben Volen. Shalice, welcome back.
Thank you, friend.
And Ben, good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Patriots suffered the worst loss of Belichick's career against Dallas by 35 points. Then they follow that up with the worst home loss of his tenure on Sunday, losing 34-0 to the Saints, which are not a strong team. Shalice, this team looks dysfunctional. Is this on Belichick?
Yes. Yes. Okay. because he's also the GM. Everything on the football side of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft, the owner of the team, has essentially given Bill Belichick carte blanche to run things as he sees fit for over two decades.
So I'm just going to pause you there. For listeners, that means not only is he coaching on the field, but he decides what players to obtain, what players to trade, mm-hmm. all of that. Go
yes.
ahead.
Yes. At the end of the day, the roster is Bill's. So it's not as simple as he's not coaching well or the players that another, you know, the GM in the building gave him are not up to par. Bill chose these players also. And the people who work under him to identify players, you know, in the front office, they're all friends of Bill. You know, they're a lot of guys are inexperienced. There's very little, you know, at this point, you bring up Mayor Menino. It would not just be getting rid of Mayor Menino. It would be emptying out the city council as well. Like, you'd have to start completely fresh.
So, Ben Volen, the other thing that intrigues me here is, okay, so, and again, listeners need to understand, a series of tough years, bad years, not in the playoffs, weak performances, and then just historically bad under Belichick in terms of his tenure this year. You've argued in writing that it's not just that, that that's a huge piece of it, but he also looks like a guy who's throwing in the towel and giving up, Ben Volen.
I have to say, the way he handled the Saints game, I was pretty aghast at his decision. It was in the third quarter. There was still 10 minutes left in the third quarter, so 25 minutes left of game. They were down 24-0. It's obviously not looking good, but it was 4th-and-3. You're on the other team's 40-yard line. Every coach in America goes for it in that situation because you have nothing to lose at that point, and Belichick instead throws in the towel and punts the ball, which to me was just an unconscionable decision for a coach to just give up on a game like that. And it seems like he's been quick to throw in the towel. You know, this is a coach that for two decades was always ahead of the curve. You know, he was one of the first coaches to go for it on 4th-and-2 and to argue over, you know, why you should go for it. And he was always a very bold coach, and he's now morphed into one of the most conservative coaches in the NFL, always, you know, punting the ball away and playing for field position and not showing any confidence or faith in his team. And I think it is absolutely affecting the players. It trickles down to them when they see that their coach is just punting and giving the game away. So any other coach would be in a lot more hot water right now than Belichick is for a decision like he made last week against the Saints. And You know, they took the day off on Monday. They switched their schedule around this week. Belichick said they had to start over. I'm sure there were a lot of hard conversations going on inside that building on Monday between how the players, how to deploy the players, but also the coaching staff, Belichick, everything. I mean, you have to reexamine the entire operation when you're losing two games 72-3.
There's two things that strike me about that. One is this idea that he actually is not the same guy. That is really striking. And here's why that is striking. You know, even if one does not understand football a lot, right, the idea that somebody might be facing at 71 years old when they have been the best in the business, one of the best of all time, and there's a record out there they're chasing, which is winningest coach, right, to be told, you don't have it anymore. We might send you away, and maybe that's the end for you. That's also, I mean, that's Shakespearean stuff, Shalice. And I want to process all of that. So pick it back up.
No, I think the interesting thing here is Belichick said years ago that he didn't really see himself coaching at this age. And now here we are that he is into his 70s. And he has totally surrounded himself. You know, his two sons are on the coaching staff, former players that, you know, directly played for him during this 20-year span are now on the coaching staff. The front office, as I said, largely inexperienced. I don't even know who's pushing back on him when he says something or has an idea. Is anybody offering pushback? You know, he said, after the loss to the Saints, we have to start over. What are we talking about with starting over and giving them Monday off? Okay, that was great for the players, but were you finding some magic potion on Monday that doesn't exist? Because they're just, the offensive line is in shambles. Part of that is injuries, but part of that is, you know, the players that, again, he had a role in drafting, he had a role in signing. The offensive line, if it was protecting quarterback Mac Jones, maybe Mac isn't the complete terrible quarterback that we see now, and he would be serviceable. They have no wide receivers to speak of, and that's been an issue with the Patriots for years. There is something about Bill Belichick that outside of Randy Moss and Wes Welker way back in 2007, he just can't really draft and develop wide receivers. And Welker and Moss came in as, you know, largely finished products when they came to New England. It seems like offensively, the game has passed him by.
So this is, again, talk Shakespearean here. So here's what we're talking about, this moment here on Radio Boston where Bill Belichick, who's been in the business for nearly 30 years, has been one of the winningest coaches in NFL history and beloved in New England, is falling what looks like off a cliff. We have Shalice Manza-Young, Yahoo Sports columnist, former Patriots beat reporter, and Ben Volen, who's a senior reporter at the Boston Globe, here talking about this. Ben, I'm going to turn back to you. I'm going to remind listeners that, as Shalice told us at the top of the conversation, he plays two roles, right? He not only coaches the team, but he assembles the team. So he's sort of got total control. This is a little sound from Stephen A. Smith, who's on a show called First Take on ESPN. Folks, people listen to Stephen A. Smith. And this is him yesterday on what Patriots owner Robert Kraft should do with Bill Belichick.
If I'm Robert Kraft, I'm calling Bill Belichick into the office. And I'm saying, look, my man, I have no questions about you as a coach.
Right.
But as an executive, as the guy that goes to the supermarket and does the shops for the groceries, you're not that dude.
Right.
And if he can't accept that, then I got to move on.
Yeah.
So, Ben Volen, two things on my mind. One, the criticism you've already leveled here is not about the supermarket part. It's about the cooking part, right? You were talking about how he's coaching on the field during the game. Two, these names, Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, these aren't just football. These are Boston institutions. And this is a Boston moment. The Sox are weak. The Bruins trying to rebuild after disappointing during the Stanley Cup last year. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with the Celtics this year. They could be quite promising, but the Patriots are disappointing. What's also the responsibility to the fans? And what is the responsibility of the fans and Robert Kraft to Bill Belichick?
I think Tom Brady's father, Tom Brady Sr., said it best. You know, it ends poorly for everyone, and that doesn't matter. I mean, maybe the owner, it doesn't have to, but head coach, quarterback. I mean, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, and it didn't end great for him here in Foxborough, and he finished his career elsewhere. And there's no reason that the same fate can't befall Bill Belichick. I don't know about finishing his career elsewhere, but it's been an incredible run, but it's been 24 years, and he's now into his 70s, and I don't think he's totally lost his fastball as far as coaching. You know, his decision to punt last week is that's beyond coaching. That's him making a conscious decision to kind of give up on the game. What I do think is the issue is that just where the state of the organization is they've lost a ton of talent. You know, all their coaches and front office guys are gone. He no longer has Ernie Adams and Josh McDaniels and Ivan Fears and Dante Scarnecchia, like all of his allies, Nick Caserio, they're all out of the building. They just haven't done a good job of drafting and developing and retaining players. They always let guys like Jacoby Myers leave for other teams. So just the state of the organization is just in really rough shape right now. And if the Patriots season continues and they finish 4-13, 5-12, it's a hard sell to keep signing up for the same thing over and over again. I think a lot of the fans are ready for a change. It's been 24 years, an incredible run here. But if this continues like this, I think the fans are ready for something new and for a change. So that's what kind of Bill Belichick has at stake here for the rest of the season.
Shalice Manza-Young, my team reminding me, we've talked about the quarter century here, that in overall coaching, we're looking at nearly half a century for Bill Belichick. And I keep talking Shakespeare. We're going to lean in on this even further. For those of you who are listening who are Batman fans, our team here at Radio Boston kept thinking about this line actually from The Dark Knight. So this is actually Aaron Eckhart playing Harvey Dent. This is from, folks, this is from the movie with the Joker in it. That's how you'll remember it. Here you go.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
And this is something that's been on our minds. When you win and you win and you win and you win, it's sort of like, that old scene in the play where you keep flipping the coin. Eventually, you're going to call the wrong side of the coin. What is also reasonable to expect, Shalice? What, you just win forever? You find a Tom Brady, and when he's done, you go out, you find Mac Jones, he's the next Tom Brady, and you just rinse and repeat? What's reasonable to expect from somebody, Shalice?
I think in a lot of ways, it seemed like that would happen when they drafted Mac Jones. You know, a lot of people thought it was beneficial to the Patriots that Mac fell to them where he did in the draft 3 years ago. Mac Jones was coached by Nick Saban at Alabama. As you know, if you know Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, they are thick as thieves. And so I think people thought that, yes, you would sort of go from one great quarterback to the other. The thing that has really surprised me is to see just how much of a Band-Aid Tom Brady was for the time that he was here. And obviously, I had a front row seat for every game he played for a little more than a decade. I knew he was phenomenal. But to see how many, mistakes he covered up that were made in terms of player acquisition, and he was able to cover those up and they kept winning. And now that you don't have Tom, it's fair. You know, you're seeing people say 30 years ago, the first time Bill was a head coach with the Cleveland Browns, he didn't have a great record. Without Tom Brady, he doesn't have a great record. And I think now there's enough of a sample size to say Tom Brady probably played a much bigger role in the run of success that the Patriots had over the last 20 years. The thing with Belichick, and you had asked Ben about it as well, I just don't think Belichick's ego would allow him, or as Stephen A. Smith said, I don't think Belichick's ego would allow him to say, yep, I will just be the head coach, bring in somebody else to pick the players. I don't think his ego would allow that. And I do think even at 71, 72 years old this coming April, there would be other teams who would pursue Bill Belichick and hope that they could get that magic even for a couple of years.
All right, Ben Volen, in the last 30 seconds, is there some imperative that Bill Belichick could achieve this weekend that would help in the next game?
Winning. Winning solves all the issues for at least a week. And then they play the Bills again next week. So if they want to keep the season alive, got to beat the Raiders this Sunday, facing Josh McDaniels, all their old buddies. Yeah, you play the Bills and the Dolphins after that, so you better beat the Raiders on Sunday.
All right, there you have it. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, senior NFL reporter there. Shalice Manza-Young, Yahoo Sports columnist. Thanks so much to both of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And come back tomorrow. We're going to visit a photo exhibit at the Boston Athenaeum that explores the Boston of the past, the present, and the future through the eyes of local photographers. It was so cool. Can't wait for you to hear it. And one of those photographers, WBUR's own Robin Lubbock. So make sure you come back tomorrow. For now, that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering on behalf of the whole team. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.